I said, God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Did you bring your Bible today? If you did, get it out. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. One of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. How many know you can meditate on a verse over and over and over again and then read it again and then it's like, I didn't see that before. Right? That's because the Word is alive. It's not just a book that you memorize or, you know, but it's alive. Glory to God. You know, as talking about the building and why do we need to build, why would we want a building and all of that. You know, since we've been renting, I don't have to do as much maintenance. You know, it's kind of nice. I don't have to worry about this or that or that, you know. But on the other hand, it's like God has a plan. There's other things that He wants to do. And I'm not worried about it. I'm not pressing for it. I just know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I don't, you know, we don't put pressure on offerings or anything. If we're doing something for God, we just refuse to do that because we believe that if God's in it, He'll supply for it. Amen. And He's my source. You're not. Right? He can use you as a resource, and I'm so thankful for that. But God is our source. Glory to God. And I just want to say, during the whole pandemic and the whole move and everything, y'all have been so faithful, and God has been so faithful to give. It's just remarkable. Right? Because when you see things change, you go, what's happening, God? How's this going to work? But it works every time. Because God is faithful, and you're faithful. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you this morning about where we're at. Where are you at? Where are you at? And it's kind of interesting to me. I was thinking about this and meditating on it. And I've been in situations where I've said, where am I at? Right? Where am I at? What am I doing? Where am I at? You know, I don't do it as much as I used to, but I used to go on hikes, and it's really something about going on a long distance hike. It's you're on the trail, and it seems like the same spot for miles, I mean, minutes, hours. You're just walking, and you're walking, and you're walking, and then you see something that you recognize. And here's the thought, I know where I'm at now. And it refocuses everything. There's an adrenaline that comes. I remember watching movies, and have anybody ever been in a jungle? Or we kind of live, if you ever walk in through the woods and you get in the salal and the huckleberries and they're really tall and you can't really see where you're at, but you just keep walking in a particular direction, and then you come to a clearing and you go, "Whoo! I know where I'm at now." Right? And I was watching this one movie, and it was in a jungle, and they were trying to get to a certain place. And so every, you know, 20 minutes or so, they'd say, climb the tree. And they'd get up at the tree to get above the jungle so that they could see where they're at. Right? And I think sometimes going through life, we get in the jungle. Life happens. Things happen. And we're up here in the jungle area, and sometimes we need to climb the tree. Right? We need to climb the tree and say, okay, God, where are we at? Right? And today I want to just speak to you about where we're really at. Right? Come on. Growing up in the 70s and 60s, 70s is, you know, this is where it's at, right? Remember that? This is where it's at. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now the King James and the New King James say, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In most of the original manuscripts, that particular phrase isn't in there. But the first one is, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So where are we at this morning? If you're born again, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you are in Christ Jesus. Right? That's where you are. That's where I am. Where I live doesn't define me. What I have doesn't define me. Who likes me doesn't define me. Praise God. You know, who likes me doesn't define me. What defines me is where I'm at. And where I'm at is in Christ Jesus. Come on. I am in Christ Jesus. Now this means a lot. This says a lot. This is an incredible place. And as we begin to read through Romans chapter 8, I want to remind you that that's where you're at. You're in Christ Jesus. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's where you are. Right? Now, sometimes we get distracted and the jungle overtakes us, but we got to get up in the Spirit and be reminded, this is where we're at. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. Now let's just simply talk about that for just a second. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? You think, well, we all know that. Well, have you ever noticed that when you get an attitude that you know something, you stop learning? I know that. You know, I know that. And you stop listening and you stop reacting to it. It's like, you know, doing a yearly class. When I worked in the shipyard, every year you had to go through respirator training. And, you know, after the 20th time, you're going, I knew that. And so you almost shut your ears off before you walk into the room. Well, this is 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is. This is a waste of time, but I've got to go. They're paying me to go, so I'll go. Right? But there may be some valuable information that you can learn if you quit saying, I know that. And have an attitude from the Holy Spirit that I am ever ready to hear, ever ready to learn. So I am in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It does, Zach, it does. It means so much, and we could, and maybe at some point we'll go back over those things, but what it really means is that Jesus came for a mission. Jesus came on purpose. Jesus came because we needed Him. Right? Because of sin, we needed a Savior. And we'll look at that just a little bit. But because of what condition that we were in, we needed somebody to help rescue us out of that condition. Right? And that was accomplished 2,000 years ago. But the minute that we recognize that, and we said, Jesus, everything that you did in your death, burial, and resurrection, I am now included in. Right? So being in Christ Jesus means that I am now identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Oh, that is huge. It is huge. But you see, when we get life slaps us in the face, when the election doesn't go like we thought it would, or if something else happens or somebody prophesies and we don't, you know, it doesn't come out quite the way we want to, and we get shaken, we've got to remember to climb the tree. Right? I am in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Now watch this. This is so huge. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's really pivotal, and we'll look at this really closely. But condemnation means the sentence that is required to justify or to pay for the crime. Again, you all know this, but I used to like to watch Westerns as a kid, and still do, as Renita will testify. I still like Gunsmoke and all of those things, right? But back in the day, if you were, you killed somebody, they'd say, well, we're having a trial in the morning. And then the judge would say, you're found guilty, and I condemn you to, die by hanging by the neck, and that's going to happen in 2 hours, right? I mean, they didn't waste a lot of time. But the condemnation was, I condemn you to this, but based on what you did, right? But here's the good news. I don't have a sentence awaiting me for the sins that I committed because I'm in Christ Jesus. Right? I'm no longer under the weight or the dread of what's coming at Judgment Day because Jesus became sin for me, or the sacrifice for sin, that I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So where am I at? I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. So when condemnation comes, and how does condemnation come? Usually the source that affects us the most is what's between our ears. Right? Now, at times it comes from outside sources, and you have to deal with that, but really it's all centered right here. In other words, even if it comes from the outside, if I've got this straightened out, the outside won't keep me bound from where I am. Right? My past has already been dealt with because I'm in Christ Jesus. So you might remind me of something that I did pre-Christ or even after I've gotten saved, but Jesus says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now as Christians, watch this, as Christians we might have to go through things as consequences of our actions. If I'm saved and rob a bank, I can go up to the judge and say, hey, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And he'd say, there's not, but in my court, you're going to jail. Right? There's consequences for those actions. But in Christ Jesus, we're free from the penalty, and we're going to see that, of sin and death. I'm free from that. I don't have to walk in that. I can be assured that Jesus is with me. He's for me. Come on. He is for me. Now, how many have made mistakes? Or maybe they weren't even mistakes. They were actually choices that were not right since you've been saved. The rest of you, come right up here. We'll have a little repentance service. We've all made mistakes. Right? I'm in Christ Jesus and there's no condemnation, but I need to recognize that even after I get saved, if I make a mistake, I have to stand up in Christ Jesus. And what I mean by that is I need the reality of what He's done for me, but I also have to live in the reality of what I've done. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, there's a word, it's awesome. We're going to see in a minute several things. But there's a word for all Christians. I've got a word for you today. I've got a word for you today. If you have done something that violates God's word, repent. Repent. Don't play with it. Don't deny it. Don't excuse it. Don't put up with it. Repent. I wouldn't have done that if she didn't do that. Shut up. Repent. Well, you know, I didn't pay my taxes, but really, I could get away. Repent. Stop it. Quit it. And quit allowing it. You know, but I just get angry and I just, stop it. Well, you know, I yell at my kids, but you know, have you met my kids? Right? Repent. Stop it. Because you have the power to. Right? You don't have to live under the standards of how you were born, or who you were born to, or what's happened to you. We're going to see in a minute. Because we're in Christ Jesus, He's given us power over sin and death. I'm in Christ Jesus, so I got to quit listening to the lie that I've got to sin a little bit every day. Or that's just who I am. I'm Irish, I got red hair, so anger is just a part of me. Wrong. If I have an anger issue, I've got to quit playing with it and repent of it. What does that mean? Whatever it takes for me to get with God long enough for me to be delivered from that, I'm going to do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You thought I was just going to be nice all day today. I am, but you know, it's time for us to realize that God is not the tooth fairy. What do I mean? I've grown up with and I believe in how good God is and all the promises of God and all of that. But the reality is God is holy. Thank you. God is holy. And so I need to walk with Him in His holiness. He said it this way, be ye holy, for I am holy. Right? And in order to do that, I need to understand who I am in Christ Jesus, but I need to enforce who I am in Christ Jesus in my life more than I need to force it in your life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Isn't it wonderful that we often in our minds we go, Lord, I just need your mercy. I just need your mercy. But you know where that other fellow is? He needs your judgment. He needs your judgment. He needs your judgment. Come on. No, no, no. God, I need your mercy. I want your mercy. I got to have your mercy. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's so good. There's no punishment for the sin that we've committed. So He puts us in a different position in God. There's some statements that still blow my mind. And the more I meditate on it, the more it just becomes real to me, but so far-fetched, almost. I'll tell you one. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Yes.
Is that true? But I'm here. I still go through stuff. When I fall off a ladder, my body hurts. Right? When I twist the wrong way, pick something up, my back hurts. But yet I'm in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Come on. So when I pray here, I'm actually saying it there. See, I need to look at it from a different perspective. I need to live out of who I am in Him rather than who I seem to be here. Glory to God. You might not believe this, but I'm one powerful dude in the Spirit. I am one powerful dude in the Spirit, but not because of me. It's because I'm in Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. And when I speak here on earth in the name of Jesus, I'm speaking for all of heaven to hear. See, when I cast out devils in Jesus' name, they have to obey me because the blood of the Lamb has been applied to my heart and I've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. So when I say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, come out of that person, then that has to go because Jesus is enforcing what I'm saying. Another verse, just again, I speak about it all the time because I'm meditating it all the time. It said, come boldly before my throne of grace to find help in a time of need. And the implication, and it's because the blood has been applied and Jesus' blood was accepted as my sacrifice, I can come boldly before the throne of grace. What does that mean? That means I can go before God with everything that He's promised for me. And the word boldly is just incredible to me. We're supposed to humble ourselves in the sight of God, and that's still true. But I can come boldly. In other words, God absolutely likes me to come before Him with faith that He's listening. Come on, have anybody been in the jungle and you're walking through life and things seem all convoluted and it's not going in the right direction? You just go, God, where are you? He's saying, come up. Come up. Come up. Get above that and look at me, because I am here and I've told you, you can come boldly before my throne of grace to find help in your time of need. Glory to God. That's an incredible promise. But we've got to remember who we are in Christ Jesus and keep that ever before us, or we'll be swallowed by what the world has said and done. Amen? Well, I've just about got through my introduction, but I'm not quite there yet. Hallelujah. Do you know that there was a time before Christ, before you were in Christ? Yes. Right? Yes. The old man, right? The person who was under the influence of their father, the devil. That person before Christ. Well, let's look at that for just a minute. Go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Glory to God. And we're going to start in verse 10. But as I was going there, I was worshiping this morning. I just said, Lord, I've worshiped you many times in many different situations, in many different places. And it's such a privilege to worship you, but I've got to confess. There's times where I've worshiped you to be seen of men, and that's sickening. What do I mean by that? Lord, everybody else is raising their hand, so I'm going to raise my hand. Everybody else is dancing, so I'm going to dance. In other words, Lord, I want to stick out while I'm worshiping you. And none of those things that I just mentioned are wrong. In fact, they're awesome. He says to come to Him with all of that, but our hearts are, Lord, is my heart, when I come to worship you, fully, completely in you, or is it in me? You know? And again, we're talking about being in Christ Jesus. I want my whole heart, my whole life to be lived out of that type of attitude. Right? I'm going to be in Christ Jesus. But let's look at this. Verse 10 of Romans chapter 3. He says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No, not one. That was our condition, right? Before Christ, and in ourselves, in just ourselves, in the jungle, there's none righteous, no, not one. Not one. You know, I've talked to people before, and they said, well, you know, are you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. Why? Well, I'm a good person. Right? I'm not that bad. You should meet my brother. You think I'm bad, man, compared to him. But that's not who we compare ourselves to, right? There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. For they've all turned aside. They've all together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. While their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of apes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's a pretty nice description, isn't it? That was you and me before Christ. Right? That whenever we're putting ourselves in up front, that's who we were. That's not who you are now, but that's who you were. For we know that whether the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. In other words, the whole purpose of the law was to point out that in order to be holy, this is the requirements, this is what needs to be done. But we come to the place where we figured out, I can't do that. I can't do that. I've been pretty good. It's like the rich young ruler that came before Jesus and said, Jesus gave him some things. He said, yeah, I've done all of that since I was a little boy. You know, he's feeling really good right now. Yeah, I've done that. I've lived that. Bless God. And Jesus says, well, this just is one thing. Just this one thing I've got that you need to deal with. Sell everything that you've got. Give it to the poor and follow me. See, there's one thing about coming to Christ, but if we're going to live in Christ where we need to be sold out. Sold out.
Yes, sold out.
Sold out. We have to make a determination that if I'm going to be in Christ and be able to see clearly, that there are distractions that I have to put out of the way. Right? And what is that? Everything. 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 I'm not saying that your whole life has to be involved with church, but Jesus should be involved in everything in your life. Right? Right? So if I'm making a decision, I'm making it in Christ. If glory to God. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is being revealed, witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There is no difference. Glory to God. I am righteous, or... Again, we don't use that word very much in our everyday life, but what it really means is I'm right with. I'm in good standing with. Right? I belong to organizations that you had to pay dues with. And if you didn't pay the dues, then you couldn't have the benefits because you weren't in right standing with them. But the moment that you paid your dues up, then you're in right standing. But there are times, I don't know if you've ever been there, where you've got this credit thing going on and it overwhelms you to where you can't pay it. And you've got this one and that one and that one by choices you've made, maybe circumstances, medical, whatever, but you get over your head and you become bankrupt. That is the position of those, all of us, before Christ. I can't pay it on my own. But Jesus said, I got it. I'll take care of it. And I can stand before God because the righteousness of God has been made available to me in Christ Jesus. I am not or ever will be hopeless. I am not or never will be helpless. I am not nor never will be powerless. Because I am in Christ Jesus. It's never too late. It's never too far gone. There is never a situation where there is no hope because I'm in Christ Jesus. And He's one prayer away. He's one going boldly before His throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Come on, it's time for us, even no matter what your state is today, if you're depressed today, if you're broke today, if you're broken today, climb the tree. Come on, get out of the jungle for a minute. Climb the tree. Get back into the Word of God. See what He said about you and begin to live out of there rather than where you are. You know, there's a group of people in the jungle that live in the canopy. They've built houses up in the canopy. They have dwelling places up in the canopy. And it's a whole different existence. God wants us to build a house in the canopy. It's called being under the shadow of His wing. Oh, glory to God. I am in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation because I'm in Him. Again, Romans is such an awesome book. But I love Romans chapter 8 because it's kind of like, okay, we've seen what Jesus did, but the result of that is that now chapter 8 says, this is how I can live in the Spirit because I've become born again and the Spirit of God now dwells in me. Whew, it's so true. It's so true. And it's so real. It's so real. We need to live out of... Go to Romans chapter 6. There's so much here. But I've been justified freely by His grace. I've been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's 24 of chapter 3. But... I need to read that one more time. For I am justified freely by His grace. I'm justified. You know what justified means? Just as if I'd never. It's just like, how many have ever wanted a do-over in life? Come on. I wish I could go back and change that decision. All right. Don't look at anybody right now. But I wish I could have changed. I wish I would have done that differently. I wish I would have. Well, with Jesus, we get the do-over. Because it's just as if we'd never sinned. Chapter 6. And verse 3 it says, or do you not know, as many of us were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into His death. Therefore we were found with Him through the baptism into His death, that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Whew, glory to God! See, when I became born again, and even the outward baptism that we went through, if you haven't been baptized in water, you need to be. But it's an identification of who I am and who I'm in. I was buried with Him in His death, right? He went to the cross for my sins, and He went and was buried in the ground, and He was risen from the dead because He didn't deserve the sentence of death, separation from God forever, because He was sinless in my place. And just as the power of His resurrection that lives on the inside of us, stated for all eternity that Jesus is the spotless Lamb. Come on, Jesus is the spotless Lamb, and I live in Him, and when I am in Him, I'm raised to the position that I can never be excluded from the presence of God because Jesus is my Lord. Shoo, come on. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. He did that for me, and I'm living in that. That's who I am. That's where I am. That's where it's at. If you're a believer, that's where it's at. And if you strayed away from that, get back to that. And if you've allowed life and circumstances in your life to keep you away from that, you become depressed or oppressed or even separated. Well, I don't even know. Get back to where you once belonged. Right? Get back to where you once belonged. Come on. Jesus is my Lord, and I am in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. I'm not going to finish this today. We might have to do some more next week. I am identified with Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I'm not walking or living in condemnation any longer. Now, when we were going to Bible school, and again, I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, the name it and claim it school. That's not really true, but the reality is we talked a lot about your confession, the confession of your mouth. What are you saying? Is your confession lining up with the Word of God, or is it lining up with your feelings? Is it lining up with what everybody else says, or are you in line with the Word of God? Come on. And so, you know, I am, and most of us are, we like to give people a hard time, joke with people. So if we joke with somebody and give them a hard time and it was had any sense of condemnation in it or put down of any kind, we'd go, ping, ping. Well, you remember that old thing when you're a kid, I'm rubber, you're glue, anything you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. What this was is, there is therefore now no condemnation. So that picture of condemnation, that word of condemnation, that word of less than what Jesus produced in me, I refuse. So ping, right? There is therefore now no condemnation. So the devil comes up to you, can't do that. Ping! All things are possible to him who believe. The devil comes up to you and says, yeah, but you did this back then and then. Ping! As far as the east is from the west, the Lord said He'd remember my sin no more. And if He's forgot it, I refuse to meditate in it. I refuse to live in it. Glory to God. Whew. I feel good. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Very simply, the law of sin and death is you sin, you die. And if you go back to Adam, very simply, and it was so clearly brought out, God said, you can eat of all the trees that you want, but that one in the middle, don't eat of it. And of course, we know the story. Eve ate, gave it to Adam, he ate, and they died. But they still lived. But they died. God said they died. When they ate it, they died. And the reality is they died spiritually. What that death in the Bible is never, ever, ever, ever cessation. I mean, it comes to an end. What it means is separation.
So what they when they ate of the tree, they died from their righteous relationship with God. They were no longer able to openly, freely let God's presence come into their lives because they were naked and afraid. Well, Jesus, the second Adam, paid the price so that the sin of the first Adam would no longer be effectual in us. Because I'm no longer naked and I'm no longer afraid. Because I'm covered by the blood, which is His glory over His church. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's the life that I'm supposed to be living in. The Spirit of life, what does that mean? That means that because Jesus became my substitute, I'm now living in a heavenly realm. I'm a co-heir with Christ. I am one with Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God who dwells in me is the same one that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that worked in Him is working in me. I have access to the same God. He's my Father. Jesus made this statement. It's so incredible. Anyway, all of the statements He made were incredible, but this was crazy. He was risen from the dead, and He came to meet with them, but He talked to the lady. He said, "Don't touch me now. Don't touch me now, because I haven't yet gone to my Father and to your Father. To my God and to your God." What was He saying? Because of what I've just done, we're on the same place. I have the same relationship with God the Father as Jesus does. I'm just as holy before the Father as Jesus is. I have as much right to be before the throne of grace as Jesus does. Because I'm living under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I can take no credit for it. I can take no glory in it. But I got to quit excusing my behavior living less than what He's produced. Come on. If you're jealous, get back under the Spirit of life. If you're angry, get back under the Spirit of life. Whatever you're lacking in that you know that God has produced in you, you get back under the Spirit of life. Get into the Word of God and start living out of who you are in Christ Jesus. Where am I at? I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm not walking according to the flesh, as it says in Galatians. I'm walking according to the Spirit. Because I'm in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Depression has no part in me because I'm not under it anymore. I'm in Christ Jesus. Right? There's sorrowful things that happened on the earth. There's grief that happens on the earth. But we don't grieve as those who have no hope because the Christ Jesus lives on the inside of me. Right? Come on. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I just want to declare to You how grateful I am because You love me enough to save me from myself. Save me from the sin that would forever keep me out of Your presence.
I want to just declare, God, that I'm not arrogantly, I'm really humbly, Lord, just declaring that everything that I have, everything that I've become, every privilege that is in me is because of Jesus. In myself, I can do nothing, but in Him all things are possible. And Lord, I just pray, Father, over our situations, Lord, over our living situations, over our financial, everything, Lord, we're presenting everything back to You, and we're just declaring that we're no longer under the sentence that our sin would require. But we're now under the blood, the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. And Lord, we just ask for Your grace to be revealed in us and through us so that others could see the incredible work that Jesus accomplished so that they could run back to You. Father, we just thank You for this in Jesus' name. If you're listening to me and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it will cost you everything. It's not cheap, but it's real. You can have a relationship with God like you've never had. Maybe you had one, but you've been living in the jungle so long, I'm asking you to come back and climb the tree. And just come before God and say, God, just as I am, I need You. Pray this prayer with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I need You. I know that in myself, there's no way that I could be holy enough to come before You. I need the Savior, Jesus. So I believe in my heart, and I'm saying with my mouth, that Jesus is the Messiah. And as He died and was buried and raised again, He brought the newness of life to me. I receive You, Jesus, as my Lord, and I give You my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, let us know. Give us a call or just let somebody know. Testify because you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.